Joining us right now on the line is NFL Hall of Famer and NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Brought to you by your Anderson Windows dealers and Cape Cod Lumber, and by the VA New England Healthcare System and the New England Honda dealers, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V. Good morning, Michael.
Man, good morning, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We'll get it out of the way right off the bat. What should happen to Myles Garrett after last night?
Man, it's what everybody's talking about. Of course, you know, being at that game, guys, right there, and we had a chance to discuss it right afterwards. And I'm telling you, when I saw it, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And the truth of the matter is, I was one of the first to see it. When we talk about, you know, the inadvertent hits and you can get two game suspension, the ferociousness in which he swung that helmet. And yet, but by the grace of God, that wasn't a worse situation than it is right now. We could be still talking about that kid somewhere in the hospital or worse, somewhere gone if he had landed that helmet the right way. And that's why I said right after the game, I don't know how you allow him to play anymore this season. Now the NFL has to send a message that, you know, I don't care. People are talking about they saw red or they lost themselves emotionally. I don't care. And players have done that. I have done that on a field and tussled and wrestled and swung everybody's helmet. But I never swung a helmet at a head or that doesn't have a helmet on it and it could have done some serious, serious damage. They have to send a message by suspending him for the year. Then let him appeal. If they pull that back and make it four games, then that's what it is. But the message has to be sent that you can never, ever do anything like this. But by the grace of God, that man is still alive today.
Now, the other question that comes up, Michael, is, you know, Adam Schefter after the game referred to it as an assault. And Mason Rudolph's agent apparently is still weighing the idea of, you know, maybe there's some legal options there. Where do you come down on that, where now it's not just the league policing it, but it might be actual real police?
I'm not going to get into that because I don't go that far with it. You know, thank God this kid is going to be okay. And I know people say, well, he started all of that. Yes, okay. If someone starts an argument or gets you angry, just driving a road rage and you pull over and shoot him or something, you know, it's not like, well, we're going to be less on you because he started the argument even though you shot him dead. You know, we got to be careful with all of that stuff. We're talking about an egregious act here, an act that cannot be on the football field because if everything happens from the NFL and trickles down, then what are we seeing? This show up somewhere in Little League where kids are getting so angry and they're snatching helmets off and swinging it. Man, it was ugly. That was an ugly scene. And I felt for it. And then afterwards, when you listen to Myles Garrett speak, I felt his apology. I hurt for him, man. I felt like I wanted to cry. I was so emotionally wound up in it. But the reality is, you can not do that. That was scary. It wasn't like even just the helmet off and you're swinging the helmet without serious, serious intent. That was a ferocious swing, man. I'm just, listen, before I went to bed, I prayed. I'm just thankful that that kid is okay. That kid is okay and he's going to be all right, man, because that could have been the ugliest scene we have ever seen in the National Football League ever, ever, had that helmet just turned over a few more degrees.
Michael, when we get in these situations, we often talk about a player's reputation or his history. How would you describe Myles Garrett as a person, as a player? Because he's had to defend it previously this year. And does this forever change the way he's looked at on a football field?
Myles. You know, I don't think he's a dirty player. I think he's an intense player. He's an intense player, and he has a lot to live up to, being the first pick in a draft and all of that. but I don't think he, you know, that he has malice in his heart, that he's out there trying to hurt somebody, you know, or anything like that. I haven't seen anything that, you know, it's a tough sport. He plays hard. He plays hard, and I like that. He plays with intensity, and I like that. And maybe there was some roughing or whatever in the actual tackle. All of that is minor. All of that is minor. I don't consider him a dirty player. I just think he had a dirty moment right there, a moment that he wishes he can take back. And when he spoke about it afterwards, and we talked about it on the set, you know, I felt his apology. I felt that he knew he had made a bad decision to do that. And the only thing I thought, I said in that moment, I wish he would have just said, "I'm so sorry, Mason. I lost myself." Just apologize directly to Mason Rudolph at that moment. But outside of that, I felt he was contrite about the action, especially when he had a little moment to think about it.
We're talking to NFL Hall of Famer and NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Michael, there is a workout scheduled in Atlanta tomorrow. Colin Kaepernick is in Atlanta today in preparation for it. It's never been done in the history of the NFL. I am of the opinion this whole thing is a sham. What do you think?
I don't think it's a sham, but I do think this was part of, and everybody got to understand, I do think it was part of the settlement that they settled. You know, this is the extension. There's an addendum to it somewhere if we can ever get the papers on all of it. But the whole idea and why they were going after the league was basically that they had blackballed Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, okay, you paid him the money, but still somewhere in that deal, they had to say, come on, we're going to give you a tryout. Now, I don't necessarily like the fact that they waited after the trade deadline. Teams already tried to set their teams. But the reality is, you know, that the NFL, if he's setting it, is sanctioning it and giving teams the opportunity to say, all right, if you bring them in, you can bring them in. That's the right thing to do. Give them opportunity. Everybody's talking about it as sham. Success is when opportunity meets preparation. And Colin had been training. He said he was ready. You get an opportunity, you got to take this opportunity and run with it. I hope Colin's not listening to people talk about how it is a sham and then goes in and gives a half an effort because he felt like it was a sham. Take this opportunity and get back in the league if he is, can. Because a lot of guys that will show up in that workout, let me tell you something. Their asses are on the line. If they can't win football games, they're going to lose their job. That's why they're like, hey, we ain't got no problem with this NFL. We need players that we can win games, or we're going to be on the.
Yep. We lost Michael.
You guys there?
Oh, there we go. Now we got you.
We lost you for a minute, but now we're back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Eh? I'm sorry.
There again.
I hope so. It's a great question. I hope so. And certainly, if not this year, I think that just by getting this, going through this workout, that somewhere somebody will give him an opportunity. And we're seeing more and more success out of quarterbacks that had that skill set. You know, you could compare in similar terms, it's somewhat Lamar Jackson. Now, Colin Kaepernick was never Lamar Jackson. It's not to that dude. Colin Kaepernick had long speed when he ran the ball, and you saw those games against Seattle when he was killing Seattle and Green Bay when he was running the ball, but not the short, not that short area, short space speed that Lamar Jackson has. But people will draw those conclusions and say, look at what's working over there. Let's try to get him back in the league. And here again, they're trying to save their jobs. That's why I believe somebody will give Colin Kaepernick a job if he's in the right, if he looks good in a workout.
We're talking about a lot of topics that don't actually have anything to do with actual game action. So we'll keep it going with Antonio Brown. Reportedly had his interview with the NFL yesterday. It went 8 hours or all day. What does your gut tell you about how this situation plays out? When or if do we ever see Antonio Brown on the football field again in the NFL?
And I hope and pray that we do see him on the field again. But there's going to be something that comes down just from the mere fact of, and I said it, you know, they talked about, this league has talked about being above reproach in that area. Not just the actions, how you speak to people and things and how he, and all of those texts, those back and forth. And the things that he was talking and calling this woman, you know, the league is not going to condone that. And I know Commissioner Goodell said, as a player, you got to be above that. So I know they're going to come down on him. And let me tell you guys, you know, as you know, when they went through Tom Brady, I went through it. When they're doing these kinds of investigations, they're not just investigating that subject. They get all of your phone. They go through everything. So everybody else you were talking to in that phone that way, they want all of your texts. They want everything. They get stuff that the police and the government can't get from you. But the NFL takes it. And if you don't comply, then you don't play. So it's like, okay, that's why you when Tom Brady smashed the phone. Hey, smash the phone, smash. That's just it. There's nothing left to it. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Because they get everything. They go up in your – this one thing opens the door that they search everything, and we just don't know what they'll find in that everything search.
The Patriots have had almost 2 weeks to stew on their only loss of the season. Do you expect the Philadelphia Eagles will suffer the consequences because of that?
And not only that, they've gone come off their only loss. You know, Tom Brady's still talking about, I remember the Super Bowl. What a brilliant dude. I think that was brilliant just to drop that. For somebody who's always on Cincinnati, meaning on to the next team, and we don't think about the past, we only think about today, we're not worried about what happened. He dropped that. You know, I'm still not over that Super Bowl loss. Let me use this. So I think about the past when it serves me well right here and try to use that for the intensity and the readiness of this game. But I do believe Philly's going to come and play their best game, too, because this is right now, especially with the Dallas Cowboys losing that last game, this is their chance to get back to where they want to be.
Yep. Michael, what can you tell us about the Eagles? I know they got smoked by the Cowboys a few weeks ago, but they've won back-to-back games now. What do they do well?
Well, what they've done the last couple of weeks is gotten back to running the football. You know, it's almost like when you pay your quarterback all that money, you're like, okay, let's get our money's worth out of him. And they were trying to throw the ball, and they had a lot of injuries on the receiver position. And Alshon Jeffrey may not even play this game. They're still dealing with those injuries. But the last couple of games, they have said, whoa, let's get back to running the football like we did a couple of years ago when we had LeGarrette Blount and all of those guys and got a chance to go to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. That's the key. And lo and behold, you know, playing New England, who did not stop the run very well against Baltimore, that's their best avenue to try to get this win.
Michael, what's your opinion of Doug Peterson? Because he was a guy that Michael Lombardi criticized very harshly when he first got the job. Then he wins a Super Bowl, beats Bill Belichick in a shootout, and is sort of anointed a higher-end coach. Where is he in terms of how you'd rank NFL head coaches?
Well, I think Coach Peterson is a very good coach. I think what we talk about, or we don't talk enough about, is the importance of a Frank Wright. You know, look at the job Frank Wright is doing over in Indy, and he's had Andrew Luck retire on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas, before the season started, basically, he retired, but yet he still has that team in a fight and in a hunt. And getting in possibly getting in the playoffs, you know. So you lose that kind of a talent that's controlling the offense. I just don't think we gave enough credit to Frank Wright and the job he's done. But I do like Coach Peterson. I think he's a good coach.